Blog Talk Radio.
The Diva of Dual weekly podcast, where we talk all things Days of Our Lives and sometimes General Hospital and sometimes World of the Beautiful and sometimes hockey, football, and I don't know what else. Anyway, but mostly Days of Our Lives. And I'll let the intro music play a little longer as a homage to Stefano, because he had a mention this week. So Andre had to step in for him for a gift to Chad, so they talked about Stefano. We've got this is Anna, and you can find me at Kazi Hooch on Twitter. And we've got the Diva Carrie here.
Hi.
Hello. And you can find her at Diva of Dual, of course, on Twitter. And Mama Hooch isn't going to be able to make it, we don't think, tonight, but you can find Marianne at Mama_Hooch on Twitter. And so you can also find this, you know, you get the Diva of Dual on Twitter. We've got Facebook. You can find us on iTunes. That's probably the best way to find us. We've got an iTunes page that has all of our past interviews with the actors and other people on the show or behind the scenes, or former actors from the show. Lots of history there. So we have all those interviews plus our weekly podcast, all cataloged there. And so you can play those while you're cleaning the house or on the treadmill or whatever. We'll go take a trip down memory lane. It's a lot of fun. And you, of course, can also find them on our Blog Talk page on Diva of Dual as well. And Carrie, feel free to jump in at any point with any of that, but I want to shout out to Bob Hapka and Amy Hapka, our dear friends. You can find them at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka on Twitter, and you can also find them on Facebook. And we also like to give shout outs to some of our faves, like at Lauren Coslow and at Teo Penglis, at Kilt Trip USA, which of course is Ian Buchanan, who's now on Bold and Beautiful, but he's been a favorite of ours from General Hospital and Days of Our Lives, and he was on the original Twin Peaks, and probably know him from a lot of different things. But anyway, currently he's back on the Bold and the Beautiful. So give a shout out to him. And also wanted to give a shout out to Angela. If she's ever listening to this, we miss you. So give us a shout sometime. We have a few folks coming up here on the line as well. We'll talk with them a little bit. So with that, I guess we will begin. I guess the main parts I enjoyed, of course, were Thursday. We had some Andre and Kate scenes, and they were cute. They kind of softened. You know, the last two or three weeks, they've been really nasty to each other. It's really taken a pretty negative turn. And this week, not only did Kate and Audrey both look amazing, as usual, loved her dress. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I think she's worn it before, because I loved it the last time she had it on, too, and I really loved it this time. Different accessories this time. But anyway, she looked stunning, as usual. And let's see, it was kind of nice because, you know, Andre and Kate had kind of been on opposing sides of who should be with Chad. So it was sort of like representing the chabby and the chabby, chabby with a Y and chabby with an I fan bases. Kate, of course, was rooting for Gabby. She felt like Gabby and Chad were the better couple. And Andre was always shooting for Abigail because he had developed a sweet friendship with her a long time ago, and he was always rooting for her. But Kate softened, and she helped Chad with his bow tie before he went off to get ready for the wedding, and he, you know, she told him that, you know, she says, even though you know that I wasn't originally, you know, supporting the Abigail reunion, she said, I'm happy for you, and I'm now very supportive, and so, you know, go on your merry way, we'll be at the wedding later, kind of thing. So, and then what was really kind of fun is Andre and Kate decided they needed to renegotiate their relationship. So that, as Dr. Phil would say, they needed to renegotiate their relationship. So you could tell Kate was kind of softening. You could tell Andre was kind of softening. And so they still agreed to the separate bedrooms and no sex, which I know disappointed a lot of us. But anyway, but at this point, still not ready for that, I guess, apparently. And she hasn't thawed enough yet for that. But she kind of forgave him for the whole public humiliation thing over the Roman kiss and trying to out her for, you know, being unfaithful to him, which she wasn't. And, you know, she basically reassured him that there was nothing there, although all of us Cayman fans in our heart of hearts know that there will always be something there. But anyway,
right.
Aside. and then but she reassured him and he basically made her agree that there would be no more, at least public displays of affection with other men. And so one of his other rules was that she didn't bother him before his morning coffee because he's cranky. And I'm trying to think, what were some of her other ground rules? I don't know. They each had three or four. They kept adding on to it, but basically they kind of came to an agreement to try to work together instead of against each other. And Andre said, for Chad's sake. Honestly, no, it's for Andre's sake. He really wants the whole no sex thing to be dropped. But anyway. So I think they have reached a little bit of a turning point in their relationship. So we're all eagerly awaiting where that will go. And I don't know, yeah, have any thoughts on that dynamic before we see anything else?
It seems like they gave each other a fresh start. And once again, mm-hmm. I was having issues with NBC.com and Thursday kept skipping at the end. Like, it would skip forward and then skip back and skip forward and skip back. And then and the audio and the video was not in sync. So I only caught a little bit of what they were saying, and I did catch the part about, you know, don't kiss guys in public. That's always a good rule to have when you're married.
Always nice. Yeah, it's always nice to have that rule.
We do have to talk about the bachelor party, though, because that was a hoot.
Oh, my gosh. Well, one more comment. Before I say, I don't want to say anything. I didn't actually haven't gotten to Friday's episode yet, but I do know that Marianne had posted on the episode summary on the blog talk, you know, on our episode page, that perhaps Kate's going to thaw a little bit more towards Andre after hearing his speech at the wedding or before the wedding or whatever. So
mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. So that's all I know about as far as that day. But yes, let's go back to Andre offered to give Chad a proper bachelor party. You want to take it from there?
Yeah, it was definitely not what anybody expected. he gave was it Sunny, Chad, and was it JJ?
Theo?
Too? I can't remember. Oh,
so
yes,
Theo. Theo was there.
Yeah, he gave them all
so Chad.
ascots. Yeah.
Well, the first thing is he passed out very frou-frou drinks, not like the beer and all that, and, you know, very frou-frou drinks, and he made a point of saying that Theo's drink didn't have was non-alcoholic because he didn't want to get in trouble with Abe. And then the ascots, and he said he brought out party favors in these little bags that looked something like you might find at a bachelorette party. And that's where the ascots came in.
Oh, God, it's so crazy. And the thing is, too, the way Teo played it, you couldn't tell if Andre was just being a troll or if he was being sincere. Yeah, I couldn't tell.
It kept me wondering.
Is he pulling a fast one on Chad, or is he being really sincere and he thinks this is a real bachelor party?
Yeah, because, of course, Andre wouldn't really know what that is, you know, really. And so, in a way,
one.
It was kind of what you might expect of Andre to come up with. But it was funny. But, yeah, I kept waiting. Okay, are the strippers going to run, you know, walk in at any moment, or are they going to have, like, a keg show up? I mean, I was, like, sitting on the edge of my seat going, okay, is this for real? And the guys, you know, they were all like, oh, my gosh, let's get out of here. They were like, holy cow. Especially when they knew that, was it Sunny? Let's see, who was it? It was Sunny. Brady had one for Sunny, right, at the pub. And they knew he was having fun. And
No, it was for Paul.
Oh, yeah, Paul. Paul, that's right.
It was for
John
Paul.
John had one for Paul. And then Sunny, yeah, that's right. So he does the ask, and Andre brings up the ascots, and they're all like putting them on and trying to figure out what to do with them. And he was talking about how they're all going to be way ahead of the fashion curve and sale. And really and truly, though, you're right. The way Teo played it, you didn't know if the next thing was going to be was like punk, or, you know, but, you know, he was deadly serious, it turns out. And then he got out a deck of cards, and they're like, all right, now we're talking poker. And he's like, oh, poker, so plebeian? Is that the word pedestrian, but I think it's plebeian. Anyway, basically, you know, yeah, for normal people, not the upper crust. And so I said, I'm going to teach you how to play bridge. They were all like, well, then you see the scene where he's explaining the rules. It was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. And let's see. Oh, and then they were kind of like, you know, Justin's like, oh, my gosh, we got to get out of here, you know. And so, Chad tried to make up some stuff like, oh, you know, we got to go, you know. He was trying to be appreciative to Andre and not hurt his feelings, which was sweet. And then, but yet they're like, oh, you're killing us, man, is what they're thinking. And then he says, you know, we got to go. He gave a couple of fake excuses and then as Chad was leaving, he came up from behind Andre and gave him a kiss on the cheek, which I thought was cute. And then, let's see. Oh, and then he says, what, you're not going to stick around for the duckling something something? It was a very frou-frou dinner as well. And they're like, hey, Theo, who was it that wanted the chicken wings? Somebody said, hey, he wanted wings. He was hoping for wings or something. And so he goes, we're going to go to the Brady Pub and get some wings or something. So anyway, so poor Andre. So Chad tried to strike a balance of not wanting to hurt his feelings and trying to be gracious, but yet trying to rescue the guys from the rest of this party where they were going to have to play a game of bridge and then eat duckling. So they finally got out of there. I don't know. I don't think I saw what happened after that with them. If you saw it, you might want to share. Did they go over to the pub?
Yeah, they went to the pub. And what happened is, at the pot at Paul's party. That was Brady, Roman, and John was not there. John was coaching a little league game, so that was kind of odd.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And Rafe was there, and I think it was it JJ? Yeah, it was JJ. They were playing poker and smoking cigars, and then JJ called in for the stripper, and it was a surprise for Paul. And Ray's like, oh, I'm not in the strippers. I feel bad for the woman to take her clothes off and she just had to pay her rent. And I'm like, and I post this on Twitter, like, oh, my
Pat.
God, he's such a dumbass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, why would you think Paul would want a female stripper?
Right.
It's just, yeah, and then turned out the stripper was, he came in dressed as a catcher. It was Paul's ex. So,
which of course they didn't know.
Yeah,
they
should know because there's only like three gay guys in Salem, and two of them are getting married to each other. So they should have.
Oh my gosh.
Should have known.
That's true.
Somebody would have known Paul or Sonny. Yeah, and then the stripper hit on Paul. Yeah, I wanted to give him have a little private party with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Sonny and them all showed up, and so it was a funny show. Oh, and then with the
it was.
You know, I just noticed too. Roman was at the bachelor party, but I didn't see him at the wedding. Did you notice? Oh, you didn't see the wedding.
Huh.
Yeah,
mm-mm,
he was at the wedding.
He must have had a hangover.
With Abigail at her party, and her party was odd too, because Maggie and Julie weren't there.
Jennifer wasn't there. That was kind of weird.
Oh, that's right. Jennifer wasn't there. Oh, yeah. She wasn't.
They
said that
her mom was
story.
Working on some big story, and it was kind of strange.
It didn't make any sense. And so it was, Gabby didn't come either. She said she didn't have a babysitter. So it was Lonnie, Hope, Claire. Who else was there? Kayla. Yeah, I think that was it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they, Adrian wasn't there either, which didn't make any sense. I mean, all fake Adrian, Bonnie wasn't there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Hope was Dylan Horton there. And Kayla's only Johnson there. They had it at Julie and Chloe's new club, the new Doug's place.
And so
they basically just kind of gave them words of wisdom. For Abigail, and then the female stripper shows up, and Abigail was mortified, so Lonnie paid him off for him to leave.
Because there's only one male stripper in town.
There's only one male stripper in town, and he's gay. So.
Oh, my favorite part of the male stripper, though, was when Patch got up, when they were back at the pub, he got up and put a dollar bill in his crotch.
That was funny.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, that was hilarious. Oh. Awkward, but hilarious.
It was kind of cringeworthy and funny at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder what they think when they read the script sometimes. And then Patch puts a dollar bill in his crotch. Okay. Oh, but anyway. So yeah, they were good sports. They all went along. But, let's see. Okay, so that was kind of that part of the equation. What did you think? I'm skipping around here, but I thought it was very interesting that Sheila, aka the girl from TLC, that the group she's singing.
Yeah,
I like her. Anyway, I really like her. I'm glad they're kind of keeping her around as a regular because she's cute. It's funny. Anyway, she, you know, she's hanging out, pretending to be the maid at the at Casa Kiriakis, and she was out at Horton Town Center, Horton Square, and she runs into Eli, and that wasn't expected. They know each other. So I'm like, what's going on there? What's the story? Come on.
Yeah, it's like something shady went down between the two of them.
Yeah. I'm like trying to figure out, like, what's going on here? So, and so, of course, Gabby shows up right as they're kind of talking, and she's like, what are you going to, and then Sheila goes, well, since you're obviously not going to introduce me, I'm going to introduce myself. And she goes around Eli and introduces herself to Gabby, and Gabby's like, and so then Gabby's like, after Sheila locks off, Gabby's like, so who is she? And he's like, oh, you know, I know you're really busy. It's a long story. And she's like, oh, I've got time. Well, I don't know. Did anything more develop on that? Because I didn't see anything beyond that part.
No, that was about it.
So there's, because she said something like from, Sheila said something like, oh, we've known each other from back in the day or something like that. And I was like, what was he like? She was like his middle school teacher or something. I'm like trying to figure out like, what was the deal here?
That's true. I didn't think about that. She's probably.
She's old. I mean, not that there's anything wrong
40.
With that.
Right.
Yeah, so there's nothing, not that there's anything wrong with that, but she's definitely considerably older than he is, which, okay, fine, whatever. But that just kind of was like, okay, what's the story there? And then it kind of made me wonder, because she was trying to make it sound like she was making him feel kind of bad for her being in prison. So it makes me wonder if he was involved in some riffraff or something too, and she took the fall, or he. She didn't seem terribly angry at him necessarily, but like, I don't know. Didn't you get that sense like there was more to this story?
Yeah, I got the impression they both were involved in illegal activity, but she's the only one that got busted. That's my guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. So, let's see. Okay, so I thought that was interesting. Is there anything else you want to take from
there? Well, I just looked it up. T-Boz is actually 47. Shut the heck out of me. She's older than me.
I was going to say 45. When you said 40, I thought she's got to be at least 45, because in the 90s, she was a full-grown adult singing and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah, she's 47.
Oh, wow.
And what?
She looks great. Yeah.
But how old is Eli, though? He has to be, what, 20s, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the actor's name. He's hilarious on Twitter. I can't remember
Lamont?
Oh.
I love him. Oh, my gosh. He is such a... He is fine
to
look at.
He is fine.
My only problem with him is that he walks around in Salem with his shirt on way too much. that's the hoochie coming out in me, I guess. I don't know.
Mm.
But, so let's see.
We have to talk about Eric Brady. Can't forget him.
Oh. Yeah.
I guess Marlena went to talk to him at his cabin, which we haven't seen in a while. And she figured out that he's leaving because of Brady and because of Bricole. And he was looking good.
Oh, yeah.
And he never did see Nicole, though. I mean, she just left him a voice message, or he just talked to her on the phone, and that was pretty much it. But the whole thing kind of seemed weird, though, too, because, I mean, actually, with Paul getting married, I mean, I guess he's kind of not related to anybody in a way that you would think Eric would still kind of go to John's son's wedding.
Yeah.
So, that seemed a little weird.
Yeah. But yeah, so, well, I guess we should back up a little bit. You know, Brady had basically
Sorry, I've been coughing. Brady had basically gone to Eric because he knows that he has now knows that for sure that Eric has feelings for Nicole. So he went to Eric and basically said, "You're going to fire Nicole." So next thing he knows, he thinks that Nicole's getting fired, and he finds out that, oh, wait, Eric resigned, hired that guy, that hot guy that we were like, ooh, he needs to be a regular, Jason, the guy who plays Jason, who came in looking for help to find a job. Basically, he basically promoted Nicole to his position to run the center, and then move Jason into Nicole's spot without telling Nicole about it. And so, in a way, you know, I don't like to think of Eric as being devious, but that was kind of an interesting move because that's going to pull her away from Brady more because running it's a whole lot different than working there part-time. So she's going to be away from the baby and away from Brady a lot more than she was if she'd been staying there working with him. With Eric. So I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I think Brady's like, what? So Brady's not happy about it at all. Anyway,
I thought
so,
Eric was being kind of selfless, though. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to take myself away completely away from these two. And just even not her losing her job either. So.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, he was looking at it as this is a win-win for everybody but me, basically. But it did kind of shoot Brady in the foot on the way out, in a way. So, So now supposedly Nicole's going to run the place and Jason's going to be her trusty sidekick and assistant and all that. And then, which I like that. I like that they hired Jason. I was thinking already, oh, we need to hire him. We need to see him more often. And then, let's see. So that's where that's at,
that's
I think.
Well, don't you kind of hate Nicole, though? And I'm happy after all these years, there's two men fighting over her. It's seriously, like, these two men. I mean, I mean, good God. But I just think that I mean, the wedding on Friday, the wedding's phenomenal. It's so good. But Nicole and Ray had a conversation. I can't remember the last time that happened. And they're both basically congratulating each other for being in love and being happy because they're both engaged at the same time. So, but I kind of wish they would have pursued Ray and Nicole. I thought they were kind of a cute thing back in the day. But, so I kind of hate Nicole for having Brady in it. That's not fair. But I should just chill out.
Let's see. I'm trying to think what else happened. I haven't seen it yet, but on Friday, I guess Julie gave Doug the new Doug's place.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't show it on air, right? They didn't show the actual presentation on the air. Is that what happened? So I saw something on Twitter.
But
they cut that scene.
Yeah, they cut the scene where she reveals the sign and it says Doug's place on it.
That sucks. I can't believe they cut that. How much time did that take out of everything?
Yeah, it still was a good scene because he was singing to her, and it was really romantic. And they posted beautiful things.
They're so
it's
cute.
So sweet. Oh my God. And
they are so sweet.
And you can't help but when you're seeing them that they're really in love, and they've been in love with each other for decades, and they're such an awesome couple, and it's just shown through.
I think it's so precious. I just think it's so precious, and they're just so they still got it, And he, I think he's 92. She's in her 70s, but he's 92, so there's quite an age difference there. But they are still, they look great. They're just doing great, and I just love them, and I like that, and the other day when they were talking about, when I don't think we mentioned this, but when we were talking about the you know, when Chloe and Julie were going to be bidding against each other. And she says, why don't you spend your retirement, you know, why don't you go on some more cruises? And, you know, Julie, like, rolls her eyes. She goes, we've been in every port 5 times already. You know, we're done with that, you know. And I thought that really, I'll bet you she loved that line. Because they only use them to come back. They're for a lot of years. They only use them to come back for, like, an event or something. And then they'd say, oh, yeah, we just got back from a cruise. And then, you know, and I think I don't want to speak for them, but I'm pretty sure that they were kind of tired of that, you know. And so I loved it that they gave Julie that line that she could say, oh, we've been in every port 5 times over. We're done with that. You know, we forget that. I don't want to spend the rest of my life doing that. And so, so I think it's neat that the show is actually, you know, using them appropriately in story and in, you know, and everything, because even their scenes, and I can't remember if it was last Friday or this week, but there's scenes when they're, no, I guess it was last week because it was before she bought the club, but they were just so precious together talking about, you know, but it's genuine. You can tell it's authentic. It's not like just lovey-dovey stuff for the sake of lovey-dovey dialogue. It's like you can tell, like you said, that they love each other, you know, mm-hmm. and they are married in real life. But it's like but I guess what I'm saying is now that's romance to me, you know. That kind of stuff, we don't need somebody like hopping on from one man to the next, you know, like that's not romance to me. That kind of stuff is romantic, you know, and so that, of course, most of us soap fans love that kind of stuff. So I just like it that they're trying to do more of that, incorporate that, and incorporate the history. And then back to Eli for a minute. Valerie's trying to Valerie Grant. Valerie's trying to get Abe to hire Eli. And, of course, he already knows Eli is a great catch for the Salem PD. And we've got the whole thing of Hope and Rafe going against each other competing for the commissioner role.
Oh, I hope Abe picks somebody else. Please, Abe, pick somebody else. He needs to pick somebody else.
I think Hope gets it. Spoilers are out for next week, and Hope is named commissioner. So you know that's going to cause all kinds of tension with her and Rafe, because even though Rafe is saying he's all supportive, I think you can tell that he's going to think that's awkward. I don't know. I can tell there's going to be some strife in that relationship.
Oh, Hope does love a female boss, though. He needs to look at it that way. Yeah, it's kind of a
No, I'm just saying I can kind of tell, though, that I'm not sure. Oh, hey, let's see. Let me bring Marianne on. She just popped on here. Oh gosh. I guess she's. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. That's. Wait a minute. Hey, let's get Janet. Let's see. Okay. Marianne,
hello?
Are you there?
Yes.
Hey there.
Hi.
I think I brought Jen on too.
Hello.
Jen's on too. Are you there, Jen?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. Marianne,
I'm driving home.
We weren't sure if we were going to make it or not. Hey, thanks for calling in. Did you want to share a few things?
I don't know. What were you guys talking about? And what you guys cover?
We did talk about Kate and Andre and the bachelor parties and stuff, but
whatever you want to think of the bachelor party. I'm just enjoying it. The whole week was very good with the bachelor parties and the bachelorette parties and the whole wedding. And of course, did you discuss Andre's bachelor party? Poor Andre. He tried.
Oh, that was awesome.
He tried, I
he
thought
did
it was
try.
Funny. And you're
really
loving it.
We haven't really talked about the wedding day itself much.
Oh,
and I know
that
you put in your episode summary that Kate might be thawing a little bit after hearing Andre's touching speech to Chad and Abby.
Oh.
So you might want to share something about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, Andre, each of the family members talked about, you know, what, you know, that meant to them. And Andre came up and talked about Chad, and I mean, he said something that their love made his heart a little less darker and made him a better man because of both of them.
Aww.
Which was very sweet.
Aww.
And you could just see, as he was talking, they kind of panned to Kate, and she had this nice you know, like, yes, you know, little nice and, yeah, smile on her face. And then when she sat back down, you know, there was like a little exchange there, smile and stuff.
They gave a little look.
And then, yeah, and then a little, and later on, they talked about their boundaries again, or the ground rules again. They had talked about that after.
Okay, so
the wedding
was on Thursday, but I didn't see anything after the wedding.
Or was that on Thursday? Maybe that was before. Okay,
yeah,
that might
have
been
before
the wedding. Yeah. That was on Thursday. So you guys talked about that. It's the same old ground rule, separate bedrooms, no sex, no talking before. But
no,
then he said we
to
need
him
to
before
trust
his coffee.
Yeah, before his coffee.
Yeah. Oh,
and then
I forgot to mention that part, the trust. He said, "I have one more. We need to trust one another."
We need to trust
I forgot
one
about
another.
That part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Elwood, he said, "No more kissing Roman."
Yeah.
He said, "No more kissing Roman." Yeah, and she said, "Okay, I guess."
And,
yeah.
Okay, so on Friday's episode, did the mental patient crash the wedding yet?
Well, Sonny and Will said their vows, which were very nice. And, you know, Sonny was all worried about his vows and stuff. And they said their vows. And Abigail started her vows, but she didn't get very far when the door burst open. But we don't know who it is yet. But everyone is speculating that it's Batty Ben or Will, you know, people. But I'm thinking it's Ben. Did you guys discuss before that when they said, you know, does anybody here have any reason that these couples should not be joined together? And the door burst open, and here it was Doug and Julie. That was before.
Oh, how funny.
Mm-hmm.
Doug
and Julie came in. They were kind of a little late. So you think, oh, okay, already it's Ben coming in. But no, it was Doug and Julie. And then they took their seats.
Oh, that's
you know, they
funny.
Were like. Because before that, did you discuss about Doug's place? I thought that was so sweet with Bill Hayes and
Susan. We touched on it a little bit, but yeah, I mean, if you want to share anything, that's fine.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. She told him what she did, that this is Doug's place, and they danced and he sang to her. So that kind of like brought back memories to anybody that used to watch back in the days when it was Doug's place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's still, I'm telling you what, that man is in his 90s, and he's still
got
looks
it.
Good, and he sounds, and he sounds good, too.
It's amazing that he still sounds great, too. I mean, I didn't see Fridays yet, but I've heard him sing before in recent years, and I'm just amazed. They're really something else, that couple.
Mm. Yes.
They're cool.
Yes. And back to Kate and Andre, there's one thing she said, something. And he said to her, he leans over and he says, "Whatever you say, dear," you know, like he's going to do anything. Like, "Whatever you say, dear." So I don't know. I think maybe we're getting on Condre back again. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely been rough the last 3 weeks or so.
They haven't been very nice to each other. Yeah.
Oh, and did you like when, as Chad was leaving Andre during his, you know, bachelor party, did you like how he kissed him on the cheek on the way?
Oh, yes. Like, "I love you, bro." Oh,
I wonder,
called me a bro.
I know. I wonder, do you think that was a surprise for Teo that he did that? Or do you think they had that in the script?
I don't know. I think it might have been a surprise.
That's what I was wondering.
I'm thinking it might. But
because, you know,
they
Teo
do a lot of different
doing that
nuances. Yeah, between them. Mm-hmm. They have, like, great chemistry together. I mean, they, he does with he does with Abby, he does with Kate, too. But the whole Bachelor thing with the ascots and the bridge, and then all of a sudden,
oh,
they didn't even have their duck. And I'm there, I don't know. I think I would have stayed and have duck with Andre. I would have loved to do that.
I'm sure you would have, but then you're a hoochie.
Yeah.
they wanted all... beer and wings.
But here's what I
at
wanted
least,
to see.
What I had said earlier is they at least had tried. They were at least gracious about it. You know, they weren't mean.
Yeah.
He was trying
it,
to
it wasn't
straddle
the most
that fence. You know?
Fun bachelor party. He wanted to show Demira home movies too.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yes. That's what made them decide to go, oh, no, they said Demira home movies. And then they said, well, why don't we go over to the Brady pub? They're having, like, wings and beer and poker. And what I think would have been neat is, like, Andre needed to get a little wild. You know, he needed to go over to the Brady pub. And have a few beers, have some wings, and like maybe take the poker pot and win at poker.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
See the you know just do another
well,
side
Gary
of him.
Did,
you know, yeah.
Gary, what? Let's see. What did you say earlier about that, Sarah? I lost my thought here for a minute. Shoot, you made some observation about the. I lost my thought. Anyway,
about the party. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was trying to think. There was something. I don't know. I've lost that thought, but I did think of another one. Before Chad left for the wedding, you know, and Kate did his bow tie for him, and Andre gave him his favorite watch, his favorite.
Okay. Yeah. Hold on. Okay. Go ahead. It's just beeping because I have my seatbelt on and I'm backing into my driveway.
Okay.
So just hold on. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, the watch, his favorite watch. Yes, that was nice.
He gave that to him as a gift. And you could see Kate softening with that, too.
Oh, she did, yeah.
Kind of melting on that one, too.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. Gave him his favorite watch, and he explained it. That, you know, it was all the nice times that they had and everything. So, yeah.
He started to present it. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to come back on in a couple of minutes. I'm going to meet you, and then I'll be back on in a couple of minutes.
All right.
Okay? Bye.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So, Jen, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. So, what thoughts did you want to share?
Can we
come to mind? What?
Can we keep the stripper?
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I can think of a few people in the cast already that I'd like to see stripping. But do you like his personality or his physique? Or his moves? All of the above?
Yes.
Oh, we got Jen's loins to be stirring. Oh, now she's blushing. Oh. Let's see. If you can come back to actual, if you can gather your thoughts after that, other thoughts or things we might have not caught yet, never talked about yet?
I got to tell you, I really liked Justin this week.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. He was a lot nicer. I think Ned is starting to have an effect on him.
Yeah. He's like acting like Ned, and I love it.
You're like the Nedinization of Justin Kiriakis.
Yeah.
And
oh, you know,
we didn't talk about Bonnie. Oh, go ahead.
It used to be the other way around, though. Justin was a nicer guy than
Ned. Oh, that's
Ned
true.
Ned was a jerk at one time.
Then they made him a dick, yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
Jen, do you want to kind of share what happened earlier in the week with Bonnie overhearing a certain conversation and then Maggie coming up? And...
Yeah.
We had a Xander sighting. We had a Xander sighting.
Oh, yeah. Victor was talking to Xander. And Bonnie, like, kind of overheard, like, part of the conversation. And then she's, like, talking to Sheila how she's got dirt on Victor. but she didn't want to share. Are you there?
Right. So, yeah, So, basically, okay. she's got some dirt on him, and Marianne, are you back?
Yes, she over. If I'm right, okay. Jen, she overheard Victor talking to Xander, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she knows all about him originally making plans to kill Deimos.
Kill,
Deimos.
Character.
Deimos. Yeah.
Deimos, yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't. But when he got there, somebody else had already killed him. Because I guess they're still investigating this whole Deimos thing. So that's still not over with.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
yeah.
Right.
Maybe
we know that Nicole did it, so.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see more Vincent Isery then.
I was going to say maybe Deimos isn't dead.
I
don't know. He could be coming back. Who knows? Everybody's coming back from the dead.
We need a baddie. Dead.
Yes.
Who's really bad, you know?
Yes, because Andre's not as bad as he used to be unless he gets bad again. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
I love Andre the way he is now. Lovable.
Yeah.
Andre.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yes.
It. I love it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of positive stuff out there on Twitter about all these people like that didn't like Andre before, but now they're really liking him, they just love,
yay.
You know. Yeah, he's getting a lot of
And
he was out there season with him and Billy Flynn were kind of going at it again, back and forth. So that's always fun.
Uh-huh.
Something about like the kiss on the cheek was the best thing he ever had, or best. Uh-huh. Something Teo said, and Teo said, "Yes, I was very blessed." He says, "Aren't we all blessed?" Or something. Yeah. So it seems like they're having a lot of fun playing this.
What'd you think of the dresses Bonnie had on?
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
that white one was wow.
And you're not supposed to wear
pretty
white
good.
Till a wedding.
And Judy Evans looked great in it though. She looked great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Justin told her, take that off and put the green one on. Well, the green one was kind of just revealing, but. So Justin still hasn't figured out that that's not Adrian.
He's getting a clue, though.
Yeah.
I
think they all are.
Yeah, it's like.
Everybody's like saying things like she's not quite herself and she's so different. They made that comment that Jennifer couldn't be at her own daughter's bachelorette party because she was writing a big story.
Yeah.
She's writing a big story because, you know, Adrian never shows up anymore ever since she went back with Justin,
so Jennifer wasn't. I wanted to talk about Abigail's poor Abigail. She hardly had anybody show up to her bachelorette party. Was there like four of them there, and one of them was Claire?
Yeah,
really. And they were going to ask Claire. I mean, they were going to ask their advice on relationships and marriage, and Claire was going to give her. I mean, okay.
Oh,
so her mother wasn't there, her aunt Maggie wasn't there, and Julie wasn't there. The three most important women in her life, in the Horton family, and none of them were there. That was like.
Huh.
So
that's awesome.
And then John didn't make it to the Bachelor. Well, at least, but I have to admit, they almost had everybody at the wedding, which I love when they have almost the whole cast. The other one, Lucas wasn't there.
Secretary mentioned that Roman wasn't there.
And
Roman
Lucas wasn't
there.
Yeah.
Roman, yeah, Lucas, Roman, Eric, and Trip, she doesn't need to be there. But, I mean, almost the whole cast was there, except for those four that I could think. Hmm. I didn't know if I missed anybody else. But, yeah, Roman, you would think Roman would have been there for sure. But and Luke, they explained Lucas because I guess Lucas is still down and out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, that was – that poor Abigail, she didn't have much of a bachelorette party. I don't know.
I like the scene where Roman was needling Steve.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see that. I haven't seen that part yet.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
What happened?
Kayla wouldn't told Steve if he comes home smelling like a cigar. He basically.
Oh. Yes.
And Roman was needling him about it, you know, like the old ball and chain said nothing. Steve goes, "I'll give you regards to your sister."
Yes, he called his sister the old ball and chain. Yeah,
yeah.
And oh, wow. Yeah, Steve says, "Yeah, I'll tell her about that." Yeah. Like, oh, how'd you like this stripper for Paul? It was an old, his old boyfriend.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There was also a lot of good dialogue with Sonny and Paul before the wedding, talking about Will. Does somebody want to talk about that? That was really good.
Yeah, that was good. About the feelings that he finally come clean with Paul, that he was having dreams and
feelings
about Will.
Yeah, because Paul was Sonny kept trying to get him off track, and Joe could do stuff, and Sonny and Paul wasn't having it. It was it was cute. It was they were filling out that same form that Abby and Chad were trying to fill out the other day. And he makes up this, Sonny makes up this, "What's your least favorite habit about your partner, you know, your future spouse or whatever?" And he was like, "I hate it when you get that red stuff all over after you eat red pistachios," or something like that. And then Paul's like, "I hate it when you make jokes when we're trying to talk about something serious."
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they had a very, I thought that was really touching, you know, because it was several days.
He'd always have feelings for Will.
Yeah, and it had been several days or a day, air days anyway, of Sonny kind of putting him off on it. And Paul was like, "We need to have this conversation," you know. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. But Sonny reassured him that, you know, he was in love with him and then he wanted to marry him. But I think Paul was like, you know, "We need to talk about the so-called elephant in the room," if you will.
Because he even said, "Do you want to call this wedding off?" You know, he even told Sonny, he gave him the out. He says, "If you're not ready and, you know, if you think you want to call this off." And no, you know, Sonny said, you know, no. And so they talked it off. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a long scene, too. With the two of them, they had a lot of dialogue back and forth about that, and then their vows were nice too. I mean, they had the vows to each other. He was worried about writing them and talking to John and Marlena about them. But and then we went back to John and Marlena. We had the flashback of their wedding and their vows and all that stuff. So,
of course,
yeah, yes, of course. They always have to get in there somehow.
I wanted to bring on. Let me bring on hello?
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 Hello, hey.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, this is Kenneth.
Hey, Kenneth.
Kenneth?
I'm
different. Hi, Kenneth.
Oh, my gosh. How are you
doing?
I was thinking about you the other day and thinking, what is he up to these days?
I don't know.
I've been so busy. Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So those of you who are not on Facebook, let me just put y'all to y'all something. I have, among other things, I went through a weight loss journey. I lost over 200 pounds. So a lot of things are new for me. I've been incredibly busy doing a play. I just got finished doing The Wizard of Oz. Oh my God. Talking about just tears every night. After that, I jumped right into an opera. Been a classically trained musician, but had never done an opera before. So part of that, and then on top of that, doing I started taking additional training classes related to what I went to school for. So that way, it helps me to keep fresh. fresh instead of having to go and get a master's in performing arts when I could just go to and just get training from additional training from a theater company. So I've been doing that, and I had a major audition today, but I've had several major auditions before, and so I still have a lot of things in the fire, and that I haven't. Just playing the waiting game right now. But there's this little movie out, there's this little movie that was shown last year, I mean before last, called God's Not Dead 2, which is what I was a part of. Well, it was so successful that they are making a part 3, and they set up their satellite office here in Little Rock, in Arkansas, where I live, where I currently live. And went in audition today. It went well. So just waiting to hear back from that.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Staying so busy, y'all. So busy. I have missed my girls. You know, I've missed y'all. It's kind of like,
missed you.
It's kind of like the talk with you. You know, we all have a little coffee cup, and it has Diva or Duel on there. I'm just saying.
I love it.
I'm just saying.
I love it.
And so what's the key today?
I'm so happy for you.
So there's this little sitcom that I kind of created in my head, and it's called What's the Tea? We all sipping some tea. And whatever else on this Diva Duel talk show. Let's just stop for a minute. Okay, here's the tea for the day. Let's just stop for a minute and let's give Ron Calabatti and Sherry Anderson and Ryan Quinn their props. I will tell you from the beginning.
Definitely.
It's been really good.
It has been really, actually it's the best it's ever been. From what I remember.
Kenneth, I know you love the writing, for the writing and everything. Haven't you noticed, like, how much history they pack into just everyday dialogue?
It shows you
that it could always have been done. It could have always been done,
but I think the issue is you have to get the people that are willing to do that and to do the work, you know, and not just writing, you know, people dying and stuff like that. It's really interesting. Everybody has something to do. So I appreciate that the stories are moving along quickly. I really, Marlena as Hattie was hilarious. I'm glad they didn't wear us out too long with that, and I'm really happy about that because Dave has a history of carrying on too
long.
I think you hit on something really important. Aside from like the history stuff that I was just mentioning, I think the pacing of the story. They didn't resolve Bonnie and Hattie right at the same time, and it's over just like that, you know? I like that there were layers to it, too, because the whole thing with the Bayview then triggered the whole thing with probably Ben coming back for a bit, you know? It's kind of like... I think there's more balance generally, and I do think that the pacing, like, not every story has to go at lightning speed, because I remember that used to be annoying, too. Remember when, after the writer's strike in 2007, early 2008, like, plane crash and all that, and it was like, I remember all the dialogue was, what, you mean just like that? Remember, literally, the characters were saying that, because they were trying to wrap up old storylines, you know, and that used to drive me crazy. Anyway, but I like it that they're allowing the stories to go where they need to go, but wrap when they need to wrap. Like, they didn't make it so exasperating and so frustrating for us to have Marlena in a straitjacket for months, you know. I like that. You know, I like that they are pacing things appropriately in many ways. And they're allowing the story to grow. I mean, even the Andre and Kate, you know, they went through a really ugly period where we're like, wow, are these guys ever going to come back around? And now they're kind of slowly coming back around, you know, but they're allowing this. Okay, so anyway, go forward but I love that you mentioned that.
Well, here's a really neat question. So I remember back when, because I've been keeping up with the show, even though I haven't, like, been able to talk to you girls, like talking to y'all, this is like talking to, like, Queen Elizabeth, I'm just saying, on the phone. Okay, but anyway, so I read in the digest that these old stories, like Dina's old stories, where they were going to take a little bit to kind of just wash out. So are we fully watching Ron's stories now and not Dina?
Oh yeah, I think everything is Ron's now.
Okay, because
yeah.
Well, some things started right before Dana was gone. So Dana was gone. So there, I see what you're saying.
I don't
saying.
Know if
there
the Deimos storyline was. I don't know. Could be. Was Deimos?
Yeah, because he said he was going to take that story in a different direction, and we still don't have a resolution for that particular story yet. I'm interested. I'm kind of torn between a rock and a hard place, because number one, kudos to Judy Evans with her portrayal of Bunny and Adrian makes it really interesting. I really like the confrontational scene that she had with Angelica, you know, calling her a bitch, come on at it, you know, blah 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 blah, you know, because that's something that you would, you know, Adrian is a little bit more passive than Bonnie. Bonnie's more aggressive, but which also, you know, was like they said, like Ron said, an embarrassment of riches, because what happened was this whole outlet of story will give Brian DiTillo his Emmy, because that his performance
if
he doesn't even get nominated, I'm gonna throw a bitch fit, and you know, everybody's gonna know about it.
Me too.
Because I'm gonna go live about it, you know, I'm gonna campaign, you know.
Yep.
I'm going to say Days of Our Lives Matter. I'm going to have a poster that says that Brian DiTillo matters, you know, because it was a great story. I think the thing that I'm kind of disappointed the most with is the fact that number one, Brian does well. Lucas doesn't recognize, hey, this is not Adrian, and I remember in the past when I'm not really sure who it might have been on the Young Little Restless when they had Stacy, she played two characters, and which ultimately resulted in her leaving Jack by himself, because she said, "Well, if you can recognize that I wasn't Patty, then you didn't really know me or love me at all." And so, so that kind of makes me sad, because they're gonna break, because with that also being said, that they're breaking Lucas and Adrian up. That which is kind of sad to me, because they work, but I get it. I totally get it. I like how they're writing.
I still want to see Adrian. I still wish Adrian and Lucas would get back together eventually, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But I would love to see that. But
I would love to as well. And I just like, you know, it's like a well-oiled machine right now. It's really, really cool. I love, oh, my God, these emojis. Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Emojis.
Oh, my God, yes. You know, I'm in love with two of them.
They
because,
look pretty good, too.
Well,
they're all very
well,
good. Well,
well, there's a lot of them that I like. But, number one, Kate with that flash of hair color, yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Streak.
Okay. Patches can get all of it. Yeah, it's something about the patch. It's just like, you know, hey, use me. So I'm going to use that emoji. I love that. I'm like, patch, I see you. I see you. You know, I like that. I really do.
Uh-huh.
A lot of great things happening. I'm really interested in how this whole aspect with the Will story plays out. I hope they really do it in an original way and not just something that's cheesy and well and just overdone. I just would not be interested
in that thing.
So that's going to be interesting. And I hear that they may be trying to redeem Ben, but I don't know.
He's so good. I got to tell you, we talked about Robert. I always forget it.
Wilson.
Robert
Scott Wilson.
Wilson, right? What's his?
Yeah.
Scott. I always forget which order it is. Robert Scott Wilson. I'm always thinking it's Wilson Scott or Scott Wilson. Okay. You know, we met a couple of years ago when we've done the Diva Duel every year at Dave Day's. Last several years, but 2 years ago when Marianne and I were there, we got to talk with him, you know, aside from the interviews, we were just kind of talking, hanging out with him, a lot of different people at different times, but we were both just so blown away by him, and he was so sweet and down to earth and genuine. I mean, we were, because they had just gotten done airing the scenes where Abigail's pregnant and she's being held hostage and that whole thing. And, you know, and Kate Nancy did such an amazing job, and then, you know, Robert did such a great job, and we were just in awe, you know, and he was just so sweet and humble and just loved him, just loved him. And we were like, I wish there'd be a way for Ben to come back, you know, and stuff. So we're I don't know for how long or what. I mean, even if he's able to come back, you know, I know he's working on other projects and stuff too, and I hope he does, you know, I hope he's successful with those. But I think it's also cool because wasn't he the one that started out as quote unquote a Price is Right model? Is that right?
Yes.
And they
gave
him a lot
of crap
at the
interview too. And I told him, I said,
about the male model.
I thought about the male model. In fact, I thought, here we go, another male model, you know, that can't act.
Right.
But
that was kind of like right in the middle, because he was on All My Children as Pete Courtland.
On All My Children.
And
but he's really proven himself, and
oh yes, absolutely.
So I'm excited to see psychotic Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but anyway, so he's a – but, I mean, I guess what I'm thinking, though, is that, like, what confidence he must – I mean, humble confidence that he must have had in himself and his abilities to kind of get through some of the judgment that probably some people were laying on him, because he really proved himself. I mean, like, really. So, anyway, so we're kind of all thinking that that's who's escaping Bayview, you know. We're not sure, but that's what we're thinking is happening. And so that'll be neat to see what happens there. So I was wondering, because I know you love the writing. It's so cool that, I mean, writing is one of your big things that you get into. And so I'm glad to hear that you're pleased too with a lot of the writing and a lot of the things that they're doing.
I think anybody can tell
that there
was a dramatic shift from day one with the surprises you know, and they just keep coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the show will continually will get better because because you know, Alamein's coming back. I'm kind of interested in you know, and how she will be utilized. You know, that feud with her
mm-hmm.
and Kate. I can't think of is it Christopher?
Tyler.
The new guy that's coming with Vivian Alamein. It's gonna be really interesting. I'll tell you. I know most of you hate the character of Kristen DiMera, but I'm really interested to see his take on her. It's gonna be something else that really made me. I love the chemistry that her and Eric Murtaugh had. He would have not had the Emmy, would have not won without her. It was just so good, and it wasn't ironic that he got the Emmy before she got hers. So I mean, I thought that was interesting. If my memory serves me correctly, but anyway, call me crazy, but that's a couple that works for me. They're really good. They are so good together.
Hey, I'm calling you crazy.
Well, I'll take it. Because I will take it, but it really worked so well.
You know what my problem was, and maybe it was the writing. My problem was that there was then no Kate, and it was all Kristen all the time. And that's the part I resented. Now, maybe with these writers, if they can be fair and balanced about, you know, if they can balance out the stories and give everybody, you know. But my thing was, I felt like they wrote her like they did it when Dina was writing years ago for her, one of her pets, you know, which is, you know, obviously the Nicole character. That's kind of how the writers treated Elaine Davidson, you know, with Kristen. And I was just really tired of that. But, I mean, it's probably because of that. I didn't really get into that pairing too much because I was annoyed. So, I mean, I'm curious, too, how they're going to bring her back and what they're going to do with her. I don't know if it's going to be a long – do you know if it's going to be a long-term or a short-term deal? I don't really know. Haven't heard much.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. And I'm wondering, you know, I mean, so – like, for example, so Will is back, right? So he's, like, contract written back, right? Do we know
that
to say that? Is Chandler Massey, so he's on contract, right?
You know, I don't know the details, but I think so.
Okay. Because, I mean, when they say somebody's back, I mean, I'm just saying. Because, I mean, they haven't.
Yeah.
Because they haven't.
Kind of like, are you ever dead in Salem? Or are you dead? Mostly dead. I'm saying, who knows?
Well, you know, there's a saying that Stefano may not even be dead, that they may do like a.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. It's really interesting. But, you know, we do need some strong villains on the show, and I think so you need some people like, you know, Kristen, but you also need people like Ben that can challenge those type of people. You know, you just can't have one person that's bad. It could be really, really interesting, especially if you have a Ben and Kristen pairing. It's really interesting, you know. But I'm not the writer, you know. I have plenty of ideas, but you know, one thing I do want to know about is the status of Caroline. We have not seen her. I know she's. I know Peggy. That's her name, right, Peggy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She. I know she's up in age, but you know, I would like to know the status of what's going on with her. Has she been written out or just kind of put on the shelf? We don't really know. Julie and Doug, they are a power couple. They are, and she's still feisty, honey. That old woman got it still.
Mm-hmm.
She still has it, and she uses it well. She put people in her place like they should be. So I like that. I really do.
Although I loved it when she and Chloe were so feisty with each other and neither one of them yielded, but then in the end they came to work together to get what they wanted, you know? Oh, that was kind of cool.
Wasn't that cool? I mean, it's like going into a house freshly painted. It's an old house that has been freshly painted. That's what Ron and Sherry has done, because Ron has said before he knew nothing about the show, and he relied
right.
heavily on the history of the show. With that being said, he's been very smart about it. Very, very, very smart.
Well, and what I like, what it said to me when they came on with, they're going to make him, when they made him the head writer and they brought Sherry Anderson back and kept Ryan Kwan, who Ryan actually loves the show, has been a fan of the show all these years, and he's actually worked in one capacity or another for the writing team for several years now, even though I think he's a fairly young guy considering, compared to his counterparts. But I'm so glad they kept both of those on. I mean, they kept him on and they brought in Sherry, because Sherry's got all that history, plus just the talent that she has and the amazing experience that she has. And Ryan has some good experience, but also the history from a different perspective and a different era maybe. And then Ron coming in fresh, so he's had to learn and come up to speed and sort of maybe fall in love with the show and fall in love with the characters. And I just think that told me that NBC, Sony, Ken Corday are all still that at least on some level or another, there's a commitment to make the show better and make it and keep it around. I hope that's the case anyway. But because they could have just brought Ron in and said, forget it, everybody else is gone, whatever. But they brought him in and they brought in two true creative consultants that know and love the show and know the history and know the characters. And some of them, I mean, heck, Sherry created a lot of these families and helped create a lot of them, a lot of the characters and stuff. So, I think that signaled to me that there was a true commitment to pleasing the fans and, staying true to characters and to stories, to history. So, I mean, as much as you can in soap operas. I mean, they have to take some liberties, obviously, but at least they've woven a lot of those pieces of the characters together, to make the for the dialogue. So,
I would definitely be interested if somehow we can get Ron or Sherry onto the show. One question. Because I know Sherry has a few novels out with some characters that are part of some that we haven't heard. So I would love to see and hear if somehow they will come into the fold of Salem from the novel. So that's interesting to me, because that within itself gives people liberty to go and purchase, the books, A Stirring in Salem, all these other things. And that was a and they kind of did when Beth Milstein was with the show back in the early 90s. They did a show called it was a whole story Crystal Chappelle, I think, or Shalil, whatever the girl name is, and the Alamein story.
Carrie, you want to chime in on that one?
It was Days of Our Lives, One Stormy Night, broadcast back in the early 90s, as a primetime series. It was a short story, and I miss those things like The Cruise of Deception, you know. Those were some really damn good stories, some really good stories, and
I'm so glad you called, Kenneth, because I know you're such a passionate fan of the show, but also of you know, our friend as well. Plus, you really appreciate the writing and stuff. I mean, I love being able to dish about the writing. And I really was thinking about you the other day and wondering where you were, what you were doing. So I'm glad that you called in. I was going to try to give everybody one last comment and everything. I know Marianne wanted to say good night to everybody. She had to leave. She has to work early tomorrow morning, and she had to work late tonight. So she had to leave, and it's almost midnight on the East Coast. So, but anyway, so I thought we'd try to wrap up here. And I was going to see Janet, just give everybody one more chance to say one last thing if they have anything to say for tonight. Jen, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Jen, did you have any last thoughts from this week or from any of the things we talked about that you wanted to share?
No, I think we covered everything.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for calling. And Kenneth, you get one more chance, one more parting shot.
Okay, cool. I think it's a classic way to end this. Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
So we can always count on you. I love it.
live your life. Make no regrets, and reach the mother. So that's all I really have to say.
Ken, though, like, you gotta say the line.
Thank you.
We love you, Kenneth. So happy you called.
I love y'all. I love y'all, and I miss y'all.
Love you too.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right. We miss you too. All right. And then Carrie, did you have anything? Any last thoughts?
Oh, just the wedding on Friday. I just watched a couple hours ago. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was very romantic. It felt like a real wedding, especially with someone standing up and saying some words for their family member. Yeah, I thought it was really fantastic. And it was a neat fake out with Deb and Julie coming in late. So, yeah, Anna, you definitely have to watch this episode as possible. It's one of the best episodes I've seen in a while on Dave.
I will.
It was very good.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will definitely watch this weekend. All right. What's that?
I said the costuming wasn't bad either. Somebody had a little talking to me because they've been doing pretty good with them costumes and hair.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Richard Bluer is the costume designer coordinator, and he does a great job. And I think they've got some new hairstylists on the set. They're doing great, and makeup looks great as always. What's that?
I said the music has gotten better as well.
Good. I'll have to pay more attention to that, but it's definitely not cheesy like it used to be. That's for sure. Remember the oh my gosh, that could be a whole episode unto itself. But we it's going to cut us off here in a minute anyway, so we probably need to go. And I've been about to lose my voice. all day today. So, but that could be like a whole subset of conversation next time. So we will try to remember to do that. All right, guys, thank you so much. It's so fun catching up with everybody. And it's so fun to be able to talk about positive things about the show. Isn't that nice? Have a great week. And hopefully we'll hear from y'all next week or, you know, Kenneth especially, just whenever you can. We'd love to hear from you. And it was a real treat tonight. And Jen, thank you so much for calling in and always being so supportive and adding so many great things. And Carrie, it's great to have Carrie back more regularly with her schedule now. So, yay, Diva. And like I said, Marianne said to give a shout out to everybody. And with that, I guess we will close for the night. Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.